What's cracking, everybody? I'm Nathan Webb.
And I'm his brother, Kyle Webb.
And you're tuning in to Season 2 of our podcast, Two Brothers and a Review.
Every Monday, Nate and I get together and we review movies.
And for this season, it's specifically horror movies.
Don't forget, we'll have an occasional new release.
That's right, I'm still trying to avoid the new Jackass movie. We will provide you with researched facts, our opinions, and my personal favorite,
Trope, there it is!
So make sure you visit us every week at noon. Let's jump right into this episode.
Let's do it.
Please, sir, all I need is 5 minutes.
And I told you, Campbell, no more paranoid on-air rants about the supernatural.
I know. This station is about sex, violence, and the weather.
Yes, that reminds me. We're gonna need that porn star shot dead in a hurricane story. 1 hour.
All right. This week in movie news, top 5 movies at the box office for the week of November 12th, according to thenumbers.com. You got any guesses?
Venom.
Venom's in there.
That's the only one I can remember.
Well, remaining at number 1 is Walt Disney Motion Pictures Eternals. Surprise, surprise. However, from the number 5 spot to number 2... Clifford the Big Red Dog. Dropping a spot to number 3 is Dune, and then followed by No Time to Die and Venom Let There Be Carnage in spots 4 and 5. So that's the top 5 for this past week. The same movies, just moved around a little bit. Added note, you might find this interesting, Antlers made it into the top 10 this week, one spot above Halloween Kills.
Somebody's listening to our podcast.
It sounds like it. the worldwide box office changed slightly, but F9, the Fast Saga, is still holding down that number 3 spot with a total gross of $721 million. And if you're watching, which some of you might be, my brother vanished, but he's back. Also, according to thenumbers.com, Ghostbusters Afterlife should easily win at the box office this weekend, becoming the first film in the franchise to do so since Ghostbusters 2 back in 1989. So, they are expecting Ghostbusters to surpass Eternals. I'll believe it when I see it, but... The top 3 most anticipated movies right now... are Spider-Man No Way Home, Resident Evil Welcome to Raccoon City, and Disney's animated Encanto, I think it's Encanto, yeah. You like Spider-Man movies?
I'm not for or against them.
Not for, okay. Well, I watched the trailer. It looks pretty good, but I'm more excited and more looking forward to Morbius. I think I mentioned it previously, but to those unfamiliar, Morbius is a Spider-Man villain, origin story, and it's set to release, January of 2022. So, everybody's all excited about Spider-Man's new movie. I'm more excited about Morbius. But I've always liked villains. However, I am also looking very much forward to seeing Resident Evil Welcome to Raccoon City next Tuesday when it hits the theaters, and then me and you do the review.
Hell yeah, me too. I can't wait.
But that was a quick week this week. That was a quick segment for this week's movie news. But just got done watching I Spit on Your Grave, which is your number 1 top psychological thriller horror movie. If you don't know, everybody, listen to last week's episode. We did our top 10 psychological thrillers. And coming in number 1 was I Spit on Your Grave. Whew! That's all I'm going to say. But let's get into the review.
It's real. And you found him. And you found him.
All right, I Spit on Your Grave is a 2010 American rape and revenge horror film. IMDb does have it listed as a horror and thriller. The movie is a remake of the controversial 1978 cult film I Spit on Your Grave, originally titled Day of the Woman.
Did you know that it was a remake when you...
Yeah.
You did? Okay.
I've not seen the original. I've just seen that one.
Gotcha. All right. The whole back of the case. Jennifer Hills is a beautiful woman from the city who... Start that over again. Jennifer Hills is a beautiful woman from the city who decides to rent an isolated cabin in the country to write her latest novel. Before long, she attracts unwanted attention of a group of local lowlifes who subject her to a nightmare of degradation, rape, and violence. Left for dead, Jennifer returns with the sole purpose of taking vengeance on her attackers one by one. When the carnage clears, victim has become victor. The movie has... The movie was rated R for pervasive, strong, sadistic, brutal violence, rape and torture, nudity and language. The gruesome display ran for a total of 108 minutes. We'll get to that gruesome display. The film came up quite short of its $2 million budget, only grossing $572,809. So it didn't even gross a million. Mm. Wild, right?
Yeah. the principal photography began on November 2nd, 2009, and was filmed in Louisiana.
I Spit on Your Grave was shit on by every critic out there. I'm not going to read any of their reviews, but it is very hard to find any positive opinions on the film. Will we be the first to provide a positive review, you think?
Well, I know I will be.
With that being said, however, there are there have been two additional movies to make I Spit on Your Grave a trilogy. Were you aware of the other two?
I've not seen them, but yeah, I did know there was two more.
Okay. I did not know there were two additional ones. They're all currently on Prime. Free plug, Prime. I guess the second one has the same premise, pretty much. It's a girl who is raped by, I think, four guys and gets revenge. And then the third one, if I read correctly, Jennifer makes a reappearance. And she... Again, if I read it correctly, she is part of a rape victim group or whatever, and she sets out to kill all the rapists from that group. So,
That could be interesting. That's a good way to do it.
Yeah,
like, to do the same thing over and over again, would kind of get boring. But like,
right,
to keep it up, you know.
Erica was wondering. She was like, we were talking while watching the movie, and she's like, how are they going to continue this for three more movies? And that's what made me look it up to find out. So, because it's a good point. Like, I guess they can keep doing it, but
yeah.
Kind of ran its course. But
yeah.
At the beginning of the film, Jennifer buys gas for $19.78. Trope. This is a shout out to the original release of 1978.
Oh.
Yeah. So a little trope. You gotta really be paying attention, obviously, but also 1978 filled up her tank. That would be like maybe a half a tank now. According to director Stephen R. Monroe, the studio submitted an uncut version of the film to the MPAA to see if by chance they would get an R rating. I don't see how that would have been possible. the MPAA came back and said that they've got an NC-17 movie, but they don't recommend... Here, I'll just read it how it says. Look, you've got an NC-17 movie, but we don't recommend that you cut it down because we feel like it's really impactful. The studio, obviously, or the creators, decided against editing the film and released it as unrated so it could play in more theaters. Now, we watched it on Prime, so I just wonder if we saw the full unrated version or not. Did you seen it prior to this? Do you think you saw a different one before?
Yeah, they don't show you as much.
As much, okay.
Nudity and stuff, and like, yeah.
Okay.
It definitely, with the ads aside, was fully unrated.
Oh yeah, the ads sucked. That like that really killed it for me. But that's whatever. It's neither here nor there. Yeah, I was curious if it was. That's one thing that is good about DVDs, Blu-rays, whatever, all that. The original came out. You can buy the unrated shit. Now you watch it on Prime, Hulu, whatever, and they cut shit out. It sucks, but Sarah Butler, that's who played Jennifer, accidentally chipped Jeff Bronson's tooth filming the torture scene where she is forcing him to perform fellatio on the Magnum.
Yeah.
And actual unloaded firearms were used throughout the whole movie rather than prop replicas due to the budget. That scares the shit out of me, especially given the unfortunate recent incidents with prop guns.
Mm-hmm.
But it is what it is. They had budget cuts and prop guns were cut out of the budget, so they just used unloaded weapons. Whew.
Yikes.
Yeah. I'm ready to get into the review. I have a few facts there. That's all they really need. I think it's time to talk about this wild movie that I just watched.
Let's do it.
That's a matter of opinion, and I don't give a fuck about yours.
All right, Kyle. Psychological thriller. Horror. This definitely 100% falls in to psychological thriller. And I was furious for a good portion of this movie for obvious reasons. I mean, I like, seriously, I have blood pressure issues, and I know for a fact that it was rising. My face was getting warm. I just, even though I knew it was a movie, I wanted to punish those fucking lowlives myself. Thank God. Thank God she got her own retribution, because if she would have simply just killed them, like just stabbed them or shot them or something, that wouldn't be enough. The way she went about it was, I could have made it a little better, but I'm glad that they went that into it rather than just her killing them and that being that. What is your feelings on all of that?
So with this movie, I love how they, I don't, like, usually I hate when they drag things out, but with this movie, I love how they kind of did everything, the way they just did everything. Like, I mean, obviously I don't enjoy watching people get raped or anything like that, but the fact that they, like, had Matthew pretty much rape her, and then she, like, they all, like, oh, you, like, think she's, they're done, and she, like, gets up and walks out, and then they find her in the woods pretty much or whatever. Like, I like how they just, like, continued it, and they had their own punchlines, and then she used their punchlines against them.
Oh yeah, everything full circle came back around, and that was great. Okay, so you,
like, I'm an ass man.
You, oh, we'll get to that. You brought up that after Matthew, they just let her get up and then she walked out. What was going through your mind when that happened? At that, like, try to think back to the first time you watched it, so that it's like you weren't expecting it, like me. Like, I think about what was going through your mind then, if you can. One, they're just letting her get up and walk away. Two, she just gets up and walks away. Mm-hmm. Just out into the wilderness, butt naked. Well, at this point, just no pants on, but what were your thoughts?
Butt naked. No, I mean, like, that's kind of what I was like, what the fuck's going on here? They're just, like, they're not going to let her live, or they're not, like, you know, like, why isn't she getting in the cop car and taking off? But, you know, as a reviewer now, that's a trope, you know, like, you're yelling, you're like, what are you doing? Like, why aren't you running? Why aren't you getting in the cop car that's right there? Or getting, you know, like, all that crazy stuff, but.
She's not running, because she probably couldn't run at that point. Well, I mean, I'm assuming that it would be more difficult to run.
Yeah. But I mean, she's a shock. She's
yeah, yeah. But yeah, she definitely got into the vehicle. I mean, I guess the keys were not on her and whatnot, but she just got up and just walked. I was thinking, what the fuck is going on? It can't end like that. She's not just going to... The same thing as when she first got away. So before they raped her, but she sprayed the mace in dude's eyes and everything, and she ran, and that's when she ran into Earl and the dipshit sheriff. I knew when she ran into the sheriff, I was like, these motherfuckers... I thought both of them were going to be part of it. Well, actually, when I seen Earl for the first time, I thought he was part of it. I was like, this old motherfucker is going to rape her? Good God. But yeah, like, okay, so when she first ran into Earl, I knew, or I thought he was part of it. When she first ran into the three guys at the gas station, I was like, okay, I know these motherfuckers are the rapists. And then when she got away, I was like, what? There's no way it just ends here. I'm so confused. How is this going to circle back? Or are they going to end up catching her or what? And then she ran into the sheriff, and I was like, again, I thought him and Earl were going to do it. Obviously, it was just the sheriff. But completely forgot where I was going with that. Oh, yeah. I didn't know. Back to when they let her go after Matthew fucked her, raped her, and she walked away. I was like, what? Where are they going with this? They're not just going to let her go. What? Because I knew the premise of the movie, because we had already talked about it when we talked about our top 10. She didn't die, and she got a revenge. So when it was just him raping her, and she walked out like that, I was like, so that's what she's going to come back, and she's going to kill all of them? I mean, obviously, they deserve to die for just doing that, but it didn't seem like enough, and I was like, what's going on? So I was... But then, obviously, they showed up, and I was just confused. Yeah. All those words, basically, I was confused, so... But it all made sense. It all wrapped up in a nice little ball of terrible rape and great revenge, so...
Yeah. Revenge in every way possible. Like, I thought... I mean... Did you see the part where she shoves his dick in his mouth?
Yes. Wonderful. I was asking for it the whole time. Like, every time that she had one of those losers fucking tied up, bound, or whatever, I was really hoping that she was going to shove something in their ass or make them suck each other off. I was really, really had... You can ask Erica. Like, every time, I'm like, all right, make him suck his dick now. Or shove that the fucking bat up his ass. I was really waiting for her to shove the bat up his ass. So when she
So was I.
Yeah. So when she finally cut his fucking dick off with little fucking penis and shoved it in his mouth, I'm surprised he didn't just swallow the little thing. I was so happy. But even more so, we'll just go ahead. We're going to skip to favorite scene real quick. Favorite scene of the fucking movie. The final scene. She has the sheriff bound. She takes that fucking, the barrel of the fucking shotgun, rams it, or not shotgun, whatever kind of gun it was, deep into his ass. And then, okay, but then she ties the line to the trigger and over to Matthew's finger, who's passed out. He wakes up, moves, causes the shotgun to go off. That is quite possibly the best death scene I have ever seen in a movie. And it's 100% the most satisfying. I've never witnessed a death scene in a movie and been like, yes, that's amazing.
Yeah, that's probably my favorite scene. The one where she has him in the bathtub.
Yeah.
I really like that one just because, like, whenever she goes into the shed, they show where she gets the lie from, kind of, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. She walks in there and she sees all the stuff in there and you see the lie, and they don't like zone in on it. They kind of just slowly pan through it.
True.
And then when he's like, what's that? She goes, it's lie. I just found it lying around somewhere. And I was like, I thought that was good. My favorite, I mean, my favorite thing was when she ties the string to Matthew's arm, and she goes, "You better tell Matthew not to move."
Yeah.
I thought it was. I really enjoyed all of the death scenes. I mean, even the fishing hooks on his eyelids, and then rubbing fish guts in his eyes, and the crows
just casually walking away too. Loved it.
Yeah, that was the best part, was her demeanor. Like, whenever she she's like, "You better tell Matthew not to move," and she goes outside and just sits on the tree. Like, it was like the most, like, you feel like what she's feeling, like the satisfaction. Like,
yep. Yes. Yep. 100%.
It's funny because she tried to send the tape to his wife, and then he found it, and like all that crazy stuff. Like,
yeah. Okay, so you brought up the wife. All right. That. Two things. One. What's your favorite, or what's your least favorite character? Okay, favorite character is Jennifer. I don't know how any of us can say otherwise. So, we're going to skip favorite character this time. We're just going to say least favorite character. Who's your least favorite character?
The sheriff.
Sheriff, okay. Now, for me, it was hard to choose, because I really equally hated all of them. Mm-hmm. But then, once it showed him pulling up and his pregnant wife coming out, I just had a sickening, overwhelming feeling, and instantly he went one notch up and became my least favorite, most hated character. And I think that's why his death at the end was most satisfying to me. So yes, the sheriff. Okay, so the wife and the daughter, they're shown. I see why they're shown. What happens to them at the end, though? It's not particularly relevant to the story, so I see why it was just not included. But that is one thing that it had me. I was like, I wish something, like, because
I wish it was like that. The daughter was okay.
Yes, that would have been fine. I would also have been fine with them being dead. I know that sounds terrible, but what Jennifer went through. I guess it would have made more sense if the sheriff saw them die. So, whatever. My point is, I don't really care what happened to him. It's just that Jennifer now, she can't just go away, because the wife and the daughter know about her. Mm-hmm. Plus, like you said, the daughter was with Jennifer when she so she just like vanished. So that's just some little small holes that I wish there was some kind of, like, answer to, but...
Yeah. I feel like the way they did the movie, they were just like, do we need to give you that much, too? Like, we just destroyed dudes.
Like, like I said, it's not really relevant to the story, but those are loose ends that they left untied, and just as a viewer, that bothered me a little bit.
With the movie, there's a lot of stuff that they could have done, too. Like, so, I keep going back to the bathtub scene, but when he was dunking her head in the puddle, he's like, "Oh, are you thirsty? Get you some of that sweet water." She could have said that while she was doing it to him.
Yeah.
The matches, I understand that was, like, to scare her and stuff.
Yeah.
I just feel like that was kind of, like, left untouched, too. Like, she could have done the same thing.
She could have been throwing the matches at him, causing him to move. Yeah, that would be a nice touch. Little thing.
I mean, like I said, I really enjoyed that scene, just because I can only imagine, like, trying to keep myself up from getting dipped into, like, a tub full of lye with just, you know,
yeah.
It just, like, I, as much as I hated the guy, like, I'm sitting there, like, trying to breathe for him, like, like, trying to hold my body up. I was like, oh, shit.
I wasn't at all. I was enjoying every fucking second of it. And
oh, no, I wanted him to do it, but it just, watching the movie, it makes you want to have, it made me want to have the reaction of trying to hold myself up. Like, I was trying to put myself in his position, I guess.
I was still in her position. I was wanting to push his head in.
Yeah.
I like that she forced him to do it. but I also would have been okay with her holding his head down in it.
They also might have introduced the wife and the daughter just to kind of make you hate him more, the cop.
Oh, yeah, 100%. That's why they introduced, yeah. Yeah, just like he stopped raping her or whatever, torturing her to answer the daughter, the phone from the daughter, and I'm going to be late to church or whatever. Get the fuck out of here, you fucking rotten piece of shit. You're not going to fucking heaven. Get the fuck out. No. They 100% added them for that, and it got me. Hook, line, and sinker.
Got him.
But something about him pulling up and her coming out, like the daughter thing, yeah, that was bad. But something, just, like a real sickness came over me when she walked out. I maybe because she was pregnant. I don't know. Like, this piece of shit has a happy family at home, and now he's bringing another life into this world. Fuck this guy. And I know these are just characters. But, what?
I said Andy's a cop, too.
Yeah, right? Yep, trope. But
She felt so comfortable. Like, oh my god, thank god. He goes, I'm a sheriff. And he, like, opens his badge or his jacket. Like, you know, first time watching the movie, I'm like, oh shit. Like, you know, why does she need to get revenge? Like, these dudes are going away forever. But...
No, I knew the sheriff was involved. As soon as I seen her go up to him, I was like, oh.
Here's a question for you.
Mm-hmm.
Where did she find clothes?
Yes, I asked Erica that too. The only thing I can think of is that she got back into the house because Matthew was obviously in the house.
Mm-hmm.
So she somehow got back into the house, and there might have been clothes that they didn't burn, because I know they burnt, like, the shit or whatever, but they're... Yeah. That's the only thing that I was like, okay, maybe that's where it came from, but I said the same thing to Erica. I'm like, where did this bitch get clothes from?
Yeah.
Because she...
I also was like, maybe I looked away, and there was a scene where, like, Matthew, like, set clothes out for her or something, but... Like,
see, that would have been nice. Nice little touch, but no.
Yeah, especially because he was apologizing. Like, I'm so sorry.
Yeah.
That was wonderful how they did that, too. Like, I love, like, that's one of the things about this movie is just, like, it gets you so into the characters and so hate, like, you just hate the abusers so much. And it's like, you know, you feel the same justice that she's supposed to feel sitting on that tree.
Yep. Mm-hmm. So do you have a favorite line? You already mentioned mine.
Oh, how he says he's an ass man?
Yeah. I mean, I've got two, but actually, you might have mentioned both of them. So, okay. So when Andy is tied up over top of the bathtub, he screams, fuck you, to Jennifer. Yeah, she replies, you already did that, and I didn't enjoy it much. Now it's my turn to fuck you. Okay. Did you mention that earlier?
No. But
okay.
I would say that's probably one of the best lines in the movie.
Yes. You already did that, and I didn't enjoy it much. But then also when she has him, the sheriff bound and the shotgun up his ass. Does that hurt, sheriff? Well, come on. I thought you were an ass man.
Yeah.
It's obviously going back to when he said, you're lucky I'm an ass man, or whatever. Stupid fucking piece of shit.
Yeah, I'd say fuck you. Oh, you already did, and I enjoy it. That's probably my favorite line in the movie.
Yeah, I'm between those two, and they're both callbacks to what they said to her earlier, so that makes it added. I don't want to read any other reviewers, because this is Two Brothers in Review, not Siskel and Ebert, or whatever the fuck their name is. But seriously, I couldn't find any positive reviews for this. The bullshit fucking movie rating site Rotten Tomatoes or whatever gave it 33% or some bullshit. And I've seen things about the original being terrible acting and just all this other stuff. So I imagine the original was probably garbage.
Mm-hmm.
But this one right now, I think the acting was tremendous. I hated every one of them motherfuckers. Every one of them motherfuckers. And I felt for Jennifer. I think her acting was amazing. I don't know any of these actors or actresses. Did you recognize them from anything?
What's his name? Stanley?
The fat bitch?
The fat guy?
The fat bitch, yeah. He's a fucking piece of shit fat bitch is what he is.
I can't remember where I recognize him from. And then Earl.
You probably recognize him from Burger King. Earl! Okay, the old man Earl, I think I have seen him in something. But the main characters, the girl, I believe her name's Sarah? I should have had this, but... Anyways, I don't recognize them from any movies.
Daniel Frances, he is actually best known for his role in Mean Girls.
I never watched that, so that would explain why. Yeah, who is that? Which one is Daniel?
Stanley.
Oh, the fat piece of shit. Yeah, okay. I hate these motherfuckers, man. You know.
Earl, I've seen him. He was in some other stuff.
Okay.
I don't remember. Oh, he was in Aaron Brockovich. So that's why.
I don't know if I've seen that one either. But
yeah, like, I mean, they're all like, so I didn't hate Matthew.
Okay, you didn't hate Matthew.
I didn't hate him, but I understand why she had to kill him.
Okay.
Because he did rape her and choke her and everything. But you got to think of, you know, like, if you were in his mental state, surrounded by those guys with guns and things, like, I don't know, like,
I get where you're saying. On the scale of the five guys, he's the least one that I hate, yeah. But he still did what he did, and he got what he deserved, in my opinion.
Yeah. I don't have children, so I don't get as mad about things like this as you do.
Okay, forget about children. What if this was Brittany? What if Brittany just said, hey, Kyle, this weekend, I'm going to go out to West Virginia, this cabin all by myself. I just need a weekend by myself. And this happened to Brittany. I hate to put that on you like that, but I'm just saying, it doesn't have to be just your children.
Well, I would hope that it will never happen. But
I would hope that she'd rip their balls off before they tried.
I'm more worried about the people that tried to do that to her.
Right, right.
But I mean, like, I still like don't like the guy for doing that. But I'm also not in that mental state where I don't know what I would do in that situation. He's technically, like, I'm going to say he's mentally handicapped.
Oh, he is. I asked Erica if she knew what was going on, like, because he had some different mannerisms and stuff that.
Yeah.
So I know, and we know he's autistic or whatever.
Yeah. And autistic people kind of think on impulses.
Yeah, I know.
So, I mean, obviously I'd still be mad at the person if they did that to somebody that I loved. But I just, like, you can't look past the fact of the acts they did. Because you have kids. And you think about...
I'm saying it doesn't have anything to do with kids. It's just the simple fact that shit happens. This is a movie. We're talking about movie. I'm talking about how much I hate the characters because they made me mad. But that shit happens. In real fucking life, there's low life, pieces of shit. And excluding the Matthew, just the other four, fuck it. Exclude the biggest piece of shit, the sheriff. Just the three fucking absolute pieces of shit couldn't get their dick wet unless they did stupid shit like this, because that's how stupid and fucking pathetic they are. Those people can rot in hell. They can suck on their own dicks when they get chopped off by the girl that they raped. Oh, God. I'm more heated about this than I was during the fucking Jackass review.
Well, the whole thing started because of the Jeff or Johnny Miller.
Yeah.
He was trying to say, like, he could get her if you wanted to. And it's like, well, you just proved to them that you couldn't get her if you wanted to.
couldn't at all. has to fucking force himself on her.
You were falling for her before you even knew her.
But anyways, I thought the critics of this movie, I don't understand critics sometimes. Like, I don't, because this was a fucking good movie. In my opinion, this was a really fucking good movie. It did exactly what the creator wanted it to do. I'm pointing at myself for the listeners. It did exactly what the creator wanted it to do. Furious as fuck, and then so satisfied at the end. And that's what it was supposed to do. The dialogue was good. Even the stupid rednecks fucking dumb dialogue, but that's what it was supposed to be. And then, okay, the only thing, the whole city thing. I guess that's the only thing I would complain about. Like, they kept going back to this, oh, you're city girl, blah, blah, blah. I get it. Redneck country folk think that the city thinks they're better than them, but that was a little bit overdone to me. I don't know. I guess that would be the only problem with the plot or premise or whatever you want to say that I have. But the acting, the dialogue, all of that, we're not to the rating yet. You probably know where I'm going with it, though. I don't understand why the critics shit all over this.
I think it's because they were probably all in the same room watching it, and that, like, you know, negative goes, like, is infectious. Like,
yes, that's true. I doubt they were all in the same room, but negativity is definitely infectious. They probably read each other's reviews, and
yeah, exactly. You know what I mean? Like, they're like, oh, I don't want to be the only guy that's positive about this. Like, I'm sure if this movie came out nowadays, it would get a lot better ratings.
I mean, it's only 2010, right? 2010.
Yeah, so 2010.
This is only 11 years difference. If anything, our fucking society now is more fucking, whatever you want to call it, hurt by everything.
Oh, yeah. It's the Me Too movement, but I guarantee this is one of those movies where it's like, you know, like, oh, shit, like, this is actually happening, not just in this movie, because, I mean, like, that's what you see that everywhere. Like, oh yeah, all these girls are coming up missing, you know, sex trafficking, this and that. Like, I mean, that's a whole other subject, but you know what I mean? Like, shit happens in real life that is similar to this. Maybe not the exact same thing, but who's to say that it isn't something, somebody watched this movie and was like, oh yeah, we're a bunch of
fucking rejects. Oh God, don't put that out there in the ether. Don't, they're going to start blaming movies and stuff again.
But you know some motherfuckers out in West Virginia are doing shit like this.
They keep saying West Virginia. I said it too.
Because a shit that happened to me in West Virginia. Fuck that place.
Oh, that's right. Some of this shit. That's right. Backwoods ass West Virginia. Yeah.
Matter of fact, the dude that plays Johnny, or plays the sheriff, looks like somebody from West Virginia.
Well, if we had anybody from West Virginia listening to our podcast, they're no longer listening.
Well, I said I love it for snowboarding. I don't know. I just, if you understood what happened to me in West Virginia last year, all the way from when I first saw the gas station, the girl that worked at the gas station was in on it, all the way until we got to the other gas station where the people were just kind of like clueless to like whatever the fuck life is. It just.
So what you're saying is you were almost Jennifer.
I was not almost Jennifer. I was almost a victim of death, but they wouldn't have raped me. I would have killed myself before I got raped.
All right. Well, I had so many other things that I wanted to, continuity errors. I'm sure there are some, but I was just so like
into it.
Yeah. I just wasn't paying attention to that kind of thing. Cause I was just like disgusted by what was going on. And then I was overly excited when Jennifer started getting her revenge. So I wasn't looking for things like that I should have. Other things that I did want to bring up, like opinions wise, I just forgot. And I didn't take the time to put it in my phone like I normally would. Because, I mean, well, I guess what I should have done was, because since we had those stupid fucking ad breaks, I should have did it then. But I just, there's a couple other things that I wanted to mention. Hopefully I can remember them before the review's over. But what about you? What else do you have to say about this? What thoughts do you have?
I really enjoyed how everything plays out in the movie. Like when he's like, oh, take care of the car and burn all of her stuff. And then they show them actually doing all that.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't leave your mind blank. Like, oh, did they do that? And then they come back to him saying, oh, that the tape that dumbass sheriff smashed wasn't even the tape.
Yeah.
Like, I was like, yes, it's still out there. And yes. Then the sheriff ended up finding it. I was like, fuck.
They tied up all of the loose ends except for the wife and the daughter thing at the end, but wasn't relevant to the story. I get it.
But I mean, I just enjoyed all that. And then even when she has the one dude, when the one dude goes into the cabin before he gets knocked out and tied up by the bathtub or whatever, mm-hmm. he looks over and sees the bed and the can in the book.
Oh, Andy. Yeah.
Yeah, when Andy sees all that, I like how they did that, because they're saying that she'd been staying there for a month, pretty much.
Explains where, yeah.
And then she...
Oh, and the clothes, that's the other loose end that they didn't really, but... Sorry, what?
Oh, I was just saying, like, and then, like, the bag, like, she's like, she pulls out the crusty rat, and she's like, the things you have to eat out here to survive, and it's like, oh, okay, so she was legitimately, like, the only thing that I could say is like instant expert kind of trope.
Yep.
Where she just is an innocent wildlife person, but
yeah.
Some people would probably go to say like how did she end up getting those ideas to do all that? Well, they did say she is a writer, so she is creative.
Yeah.
So how she caught that big fish? She did have fishing line and hooks, so
yeah. That was all, I believe, I could be wrong, but that's all foreshadowed when she goes to the shed, because all of that stuff's in there. I think, if I'm not mistaken, so all of that was shown, so she had to have went back to the shed to get that stuff. That's why I think she went back to the house and got her clothes, too.
But, yeah, so that could very well be, or for all we know, the clothes were in that shed, you know, like...
Be odd, but, yeah.
I mean, it was like an Airbnb, so somebody could have left clothes behind somewhere.
Yeah.
And they're also, I mean, that's what, four hillbillies that were left in charge to get rid of all this stuff? They could have forgot some shit.
Yeah. Agreed.
But, yeah, I mean, I don't know. I feel like we've gone through pretty much a pretty good amount of what our opinions are for it. I can't really think of anything else to say. I mean, I'm glad that I was able to pick a movie you haven't seen yet.
Yes. And I did not do any research prior to this. The only thing I knew about the movie is what you told me, which if I would have had the physical copy, I could have read that on the back of the damn DVD. So nothing was spoiled for me for this one. I did the research after, and then we got on here to do the review. So,
well, I'm glad that you did it that way, because this is the first movie that I've actually seen you get some real emotions from since Jackass.
Not true. I have real emotion. This one was just elevated. But, all right.
That's what elevated emotions.
I got you. All right, well then, let's go to the next segment, which is...
Trope, there it is.
There are certain rules that one must abide by in order to successfully survive a horror movie. For instance, number one, you can never have sex.
All right, asshole victim. We've covered this in the past, but I couldn't leave it out for obvious reasons. An asshole victim is exactly as it sounds. When the audience basically has zero pity for a victim in the movie. Every male in this movie, minus Earl, the guy who rents the cabin to Jennifer, is an asshole who later becomes the victim, and the audience more than likely cheered when it happened. So, asshole victim. Speaking of ass, we've got ass shove. Quite simply, this trope covers the act of putting something into or pulling something out of a character's rectum. The ass shove. Which is my favorite scene. The sheriff probably could have taken a couple more inches of that gun.
There's a couple more things shoved in asses in this movie. Hey-o.
Speaking of gun, Chekhov's gun. One that we've had many times. For those that forget, this trope is basically when an insignificant item is shown, forgotten about, and then returns to play a pivotal role in the movie. Chekhov's gun and I Spit on Your Grave could be considered many things, but the largest would be the cabin that that she finds when she's jogging. It's where many of the murders take place. Another one, obviously, you mentioned it, would be the lie that she found. That she just slightly shown, comes back into play. So, Chekhov's gun. There's many in this movie. Dirty cop. When an officer of the law is revealed to be someone who should be behind bars instead of in charge of putting people behind bars, you know you have a dirty cop, and you know it's about time to shout.
Trope, there it is.
You almost missed it. That piece of shit sheriff is obviously the dirty cop for this one. Have I called the sheriff a piece of shit enough? I feel like I haven't.
I don't think so.
And lastly, because we're only giving out five, because I want people to give me some on our Instagram, which we'll plug in a minute, but the last one of the five tropes for this week is hate sink. I'm not sure where the sink part comes from, but a hate sink is a character who is introduced to the story so that the audience can hate them and are intentionally made to be vile and unsympathetic by the creator. Every rapist in this movie can be considered a hate sink. As you already did, an argument can be made for Matthew to not fall into that category, but the other four most certainly do. And that is called hate sink. So we've got asshole victim, which we've had in many movies. Ass shove, that's a new one. Chekhov's gun, we've had that several times. Dirty cop, I feel like that's been in a movie, but we haven't brought it up. So this is definitely the first time mentioning it. And then the hate sink.
There you go. Trope, there it is. Trope, there they are.
That's right. That was a quick trope section. But as we've stated in the past, we're at the point now when we're talking about the movie in our opinion section, sometimes even the facts section, we'll say trope. That's to let everybody know, hey, that right there was a trope. We're not going to bring it up later.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of what we are. We know our tropes now.
Yeah.
we learn new tropes. We still talk about the old tropes.
Yeah.
It's a trope section.
That's right. This movie, as always, full of tropes. One I didn't mention, but I'm going to point out because it happened in the very first fucking minute of the movie. This chick is driving out to a cabin to be all by herself. She just happens to be a writer. That's a trope. So give us more tropes. If you listen to this review, we left something out. Please, please, please. We're going to hit it again when we give the outro. But please let us know on our Instagram, Two Bros in a Review. Let us know what tropes we left out. What tropes are your favorite? Let's hear some stuff. But
let us know a favorite scene in the movie.
Yes. Absolutely. But that's all I've got for the trope section. So I think it's about time that we go ahead and we give them the five knives rating.
All right.
So do you want to give it your rating first, or do you want me to? We should actually discuss like how we're going to do that, because this is your number one. So, should you give yours first, or should I give mine first?
You should give yours first.
Okay, so from now on, whoever's pick, I guess say pick, the other person will start with their rating.
Okay.
If it's a agreed upon entry, then we'll figure it out that time. But, so like next week, we're doing Silence of the Lambs. That was both of us. So next week, we'll figure out who goes first. But then the week after that, we're doing Get Out. That was on my list. So you'll go first on Get Out.
All right.
Okay. We'll see if we can remember that from here on out. So, my rating, I'm going to do it as usual. I'm going to give dialogue and acting combined. I'm going to put those two together for this, and I'm going to give it a 1.5 because I think that all of these actors did their jobs. The bad guys made me hate them. The good woman made me damn near come to tears for her and then jump up for joy when she got her revenge. And even the side character, Earl, I felt sympathy for him. So I think their acting did the fucking job. I don't care what any other critic says. I'm giving it 1.5 for acting and dialogue. I am going to give it a 1 for gore. I don't know if gore should necessarily be part of this movie or part of this critique, but I like gore. This is our review, so I'm giving it a full 1 for gore. There was a good amount, especially when the shotgun blast went through his ass, through his mouth, and killed Matthew too. So full 1 for gore. We are now at 2.5. I'm going to give it a 0.5 point for fan service. Now, we don't normally give fan service. That's a trope, by the way. We don't normally give movies fan service this season. Last season, we were all about giving fan service points. This season, we're simmered down a little bit, but I'm still going to give a 0.5 point for fan service. That brings me to 3. I'm going to give it 2 points. Yes, 2 points for the plot, premise, story. Just put all that into one big ball. I think that it was executed great. I think it all made fucking sense. All the loose ties tied up, however you want to say it, except for the last thing that we talked about, the daughter and whatever. All the loose ends were tied. There we go. But the story itself, while it's gruesome, it sucks, it's sad, it still worked. Mm-hmm. And it made me feel so good at the end when she fucking killed them all. So I'm giving it 2 points for the story. That comes to 5 knives. Very vengeful, but 5 fucking knives for this movie. From Nathan.
All right, for me. So I broke it down into different categories: dialogue, acting, hotness, like the cuteness of the actresses,
fan service, okay,
video work, and final scenes.
Oh, so I didn't even give anything for video work, but okay.
So dialogue, I think that everything about this was, in my opinion, was good. So I'm giving it a 1 for the dialogue. You didn't like the shit talking about the city girl kind of thing. I thought that added characters to the hillbillies. That's why I'm giving it a 1, just because everybody, like, you know, nailed it, hit the nail on the head pretty much, you know.
Okay.
Acting, they all played their roles exactly how I can imagine them playing their roles. Like, I think that she did an amazing job with everything, like being raped, being scared, getting her revenge. I just thought fucking amazing. The hillbillies, I hated every one of them. You know, the mentally handicapped guy, I felt bad for him, but I was still happy that he was killed, because I understand, like, that goes back to the dialogue. I understand why she had to kill him, like, why she decided to do it. Mm-hmm. Hotness, you know me, I'm a boob guy, so I didn't, you know, normally I'm like, oh yeah, she ain't got boobs, I don't care. But I just, something about her, like, I was just like, yeah, she's hot, you know, but I'm going to go back to I am a boob guy, so she doesn't get a full point for that. She got a point for dialogue and a point for them being acting. Hotness, 0.5 point.
Okay.
Video work, I feel like I love the way they did it, where they showed, like, his camera, you know, like, when Stanley was filming.
Yeah.
I'm glad that they showed that video footage as, like, we were looking through the camera, mm-hmm, instead of, you know, like, trying to fake it out again or whatever. Mm-hmm. And then how all the gore and everything comes into play. I think that's great. So I'm giving it a 1 for that. And then the final scene, that has to be one of the best final scenes that I've seen in a movie. And like you said, like that's probably your favorite death scene. Like I honestly could not picture a more satisfying release at the end of the movie than that. And then the look on her face while she's sitting on the tree, it just says everything you need to know about that movie. So that gets a one as well.
Okay.
So for that, I'm giving it a 4.5.
Okay, 4.5.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah, 4.5.
Okay. So that's a 9.5.
Mm-hmm.
I gave it a higher rating than you, but that's I understand. Okay, so I Spit on Your Grave, Two Brothers in Review, 5 Knives rating is a 9.5. Mm-hmm. Not changing mine. I'm sticking with my 5, obviously. But you brought up the camera. I normally am one. Again, I was off this time. My head was in a different space, obviously, watching this movie. Because I normally look at cinematography and the way things are filmed and all that kind of stuff. When you brought it up, it made me realize it was lacking some different types of shots. I think some POV shots would have had a nice touch to it. I think some more wide angle up above shots of the woods to see how spread out. I think things like that would have been out of touch. So if I would have did a cinematography thing, I might have not given it a full point for that myself. But, and also to your hotness and how you say you're normally a boob guy, I'm willing to go out on a limb here and say that she is attractive to you. I mean, she's got a pretty face, obviously. But I think the overall attractiveness is because of how badass she ends up being. Yeah. I could be wrong, but I feel like that.
It's, I mean, like, I don't know. Like, I like them a little thicker. So, but the fact that she's a badass gives her, you know, that Kill Bill kind of vibe. So it's like,
okay.
But yeah, I'm gonna tweak it until I get it correct of how I'm gonna do my 5 points.
Gotcha.
But like, I'm writing them down at like, so that way I can remember next week and see if there's something else that I'm gonna change out of that. But
okay.
So I've got dialogue, acting, fan service, video work, and the final scene will probably change. It just final scene.
You had to include this one.
Yeah, I mean, if somebody sees this movie and they don't think that the final scene was a good release,
stop watching movies.
Yeah, like, start listening to country or something. I don't know. I don't know.
Yeah, I'm on the same page. Yeah, I think like probably each movie is probably going to change a little bit for me the way I do it. Most of it's probably going to have the same structure, but I think the movie kind of will determine a few of the things. So
yeah, exactly. That's the way I'm thinking of it too. Like,
but we're pretty much on the same page with it, and I Spit on Your Grave gets a 9.5, which
was pretty good. I'm surprised that you were not against her all the way because she had a bush.
Maybe the unrated version showed more, but there was only a glimpse of it, and because of the previous of... Okay, hold on. Let me finish this statement, but then I got something else I want to say. Because of the previous events, what had just happened to her, her having a bush didn't even cross my mind. I wasn't even thinking of her in that manner at that point in time. If that would have been the first thing I saw in the movie, then I'd be like... But when I saw it, it was like, okay. Now, we're past opinions, but this is our review. This is what we do. What they did was wrong. 100,000%. What I'm about to say may come off to some of these people that I'm okay with what they did. So I'm getting this out of the way. If you didn't already fucking know, I think what they did was wrong. Now, there are college parties and other things where people run trains on girls. I've never been a part of this running trains or anything. But if I were to, I would be the first guy. There is no way in hell I am going to be the second, third caboose or whatever you else want to fucking call him, because this disgusting motherfucker just put his Matthew came in her. We know that he busted his nut. Like, it literally showed his visuals of him busting a nut.
Yeah.
The sheriff, according to what he said, put it in her ass. Okay, so he got a new hole. Good for fucking him, dipshit, piece of shit. There it is again. But the other two, it's assumed that, it has to be, they put it in one of those other two holes. She hasn't cleaned herself, obviously, unless they use the money water there. So they're putting their dick right into the cum of the other fucking guys that previously... That shit's fucking disgusting. These nasty, sick fucking bastards. And if you're doing it not raping a girl, you're just doing this whole run a train shit, which is possibly a rape anyways because they're probably drunk. But you're fucking nasty. Stop doing this shit. That's all I want to say. I have no problems with orgies and that stuff. Hey, do your thing. But a dick after a dick, you're just putting your fucking dick in the other guy's cum at this point. So why don't you two just go fuck and leave the fucking girl out of it? I'm probably going to be canceled for that. Whatever.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely... I thought about that, too. I'm like, they didn't... So... Johnny got a blowjob?
Didn't show that.
Yeah, well,
I think he, you're talking about this comment about it, right? So
that's what I think we've seen the rated version. Because I think in the unrated version, it shows him stick his dick in her mouth.
Oh, see, makes a comment about it at some point in time.
He says, and don't you use your teeth, bitch.
All right, well, whatever it is, I assumed that he was referring to when, for whatever reason, he put the gun in her mouth and the other guy, or he put the bottle in her mouth. The other guy put the gun in her mouth and had her suck the barrel. So I just assumed that that's what they were talking about, but there might be in the unrated version, her actually sucking some dick. I don't know, but
I'm not sure. We'll have to look into that and clarify it or something, but I'm pretty sure, I don't know, but still, it's still gross either way. Like, you know, you're literally fucking somebody else's nut. That's what you're doing. You're getting your nut on somebody else's nut.
They're using their cum as lube.
Yeah.
Nasty motherfuckers.
Yep. It's, one thing I did forget to mention was, Earl's death was sad.
Yes.
I was just like, not Earl, but I seen it coming, you know, like the first time I seen the movie and when I watched it earlier, like I was just like, oh yeah, he's going to kill Earl. Cause
as soon as he said, were we still going hunt? Are you still up for what did he say?
I'll see you in the AM.
Well, I know, but what kind of hunting? Quail?
Quail.
Yeah. Yeah. I knew that. I was like, yep. He's getting his head shot off.
It was the sheriff tying up loose ends.
He should have just tied up his loose end and put a fucking gun in his mouth. No, he shouldn't have, because the way he died was much better.
Yeah. That's all that I have.
Yeah, well, I mean, we got to do our normal plugs and everything, but
for opinions and ratings and all that, if you listeners have anything else you want to add, if you recently watched the movie or you watched the movie and remember something, go on Instagram, Two Bros in a Review, give us a follow, send us a message, comment on the cover art for the movie. You know, whatever works for you. You know, that's Two Bros in a Review. You know, like, we're doing this for you guys. We just ask for follows. This season, I am trying to get you to communicate more with us. So if you can get on there and send us a DM or a comment on something, you know, like, we will interact with you. Just all it takes is a click of a button and a type on the mouse or type on your phone, whatever you do with it, you know.
And this episode will drop Monday at noon Eastern, like our weekly episodes drop. However, if you want to know when we're going to do some bonus episodes, I don't know, like next Tuesday, when Resident Evil Raccoon City drops. We are going to go watch that Tuesday and give you guys a bonus review. It'll make the third bonus review of Season 2. But for information like that, it'll be posted on that Instagram, Two Bros in Review. So make sure you're following. Make sure you're interacting. Make sure you're listening to us every Monday at noon, like I said. Spotify, Apple Podcasts, wherever you listen to music and podcasts. Check us out. It's free to do when you're driving along to work. Some of you guys got long commutes. Listen to us talk for an hour. Listen to me get mad about things sometimes. And then obviously, we could really use your support also on that Apple podcast review. We need some reviews, guys. So head over to that little purple icon if you got an Apple device. If you don't have an Apple device, borrow your mom's because she does. Mm-hmm. And give us a 5-star review. Tell us what you think about us. Tell us what you think about the movie that you heard us review. You know, just give us some brothers. Feedback. Say what?
It's Two Brothers in a Review on the Apple Podcasts.
Yep.
You know, we ask that you guys do that, you know, the 5 stars, and then leave a comment on there. You know, we want to add a segment where we read off what you guys say, but we want to make sure we get a lot of comments, you know, that we can actually pick through and, you know, read them out here for you guys, and maybe you guys can, you know, enjoy that segment.
Yep.
The way that, we enjoy tropes.
That, and it helps us with the algorithm. Some weird way it helps us climb the charts on Apple Podcasts, iTunes, and all that good stuff. So just give us those reviews, please.
Please do that for us.
I mean, if you want to give us a 1-star, then give us a 1-star. I would really greatly appreciate the 5. But if you give us a 1, I appreciate that too. Just give us a review.
Yeah, just let us know that you're on there. We appreciate that. Yeah. Sorry, dead silence. You'd like, doing weird shit with your...
I was playing with my hair. I'm sorry. I believe the next thing is we gotta give a shout out to a couple guys that we know. Do you wanna let them know?
Our brother and our brother from another mother, Corey and Tommy. They have a podcast and a YouTube channel. Those Random Guys is TRG Network. You know that just as much as we appreciate everything you do for us, they appreciate what everybody does for them. So. Do yourself a favor, do us a favor, go over there, check them out on YouTube, TRG Network. They're fucking hilarious. Some things, you know, mature audiences only. Yeah. But if you're listening to our podcast, hopefully your children are around when you're listening, because I do a lot of cussing and all that stuff. But yeah, TRG Network, they're hilarious. They, like, I laugh every time I watch something new from them.
As do I. They do some gaming. We also do some gaming. Mm-hmm. I'll give a real quick plug for my channel, High Society Productions, over there on YouTube also. So after you go to TRG, Those Random Guys, make sure you hit that subscribe button and like their videos. Slide on over to High Society Productions. Hit subscribe. Watch some of my videos. Like my videos. Down there on the bottom somewhere, it's got a link to my gaming page. High Society Productions Gameplay. It's a long name. It's a mouthful, I know, but it's just a click away. Make sure you go check that out. I'm going to be posting up some of our Sea of Thieves videos. We've been going live on Twitch. If you're a Twitch guy, Twitch gal, make sure you follow me on HSP Gameplay on Twitch. And Kyle, where can you be found?
On Twitch, you can find me. It's Chef Boyard C, and that's S-E-A. Instead of Chef Boyard D, I'm Chef Boyard C because I'm out here cooking up the flounder, cooking up the megalodon, you know, cooking on the seas, you know. Chef Boyard C. You can find me on YouTube. It's KW Snow. That's going to be all my snowboarding content, all the snow activities we will be doing. All that doesn't really get active until middle of December. Actually, a little later in December, and then the game, the Twitch will be a little closer to January. I'm trying to get my game room built up and set up so that way you can, you know, see cool backgrounds and hear me and see me and all that fun stuff.
He's got some special things in the works. I already know.
Yeah, I've got a lot of plans to make the game room look cool, and it's also gonna be a guest room. So if somebody decides they want to spend the night one night, they'll get to sit around a bunch of barrels and chips.
You're working on your game room. I'm working on switching my office. So everything over at My High Society Productions is currently on pause until I get that fixed. Then I'm gonna bombard that page or that channel with a bunch of stuff. So
yeah, and then eventually, you know, I'm gonna start getting stuff made and everything from
Richly Designs. Was that where you're going to go? Is Rich Lilly Designs?
That's right, Rich Lilly Designs. I'm going to have some stuff made, some Chef Boyardee stuff made, some Red Rum stuff. We're going to have some Two Brothers and Review stuff, and then I'm going to start doing giveaways on different channels. So, you know, if you follow us on Instagram, we will be posting those pages on the stories whenever we're doing giveaways. So,
there you go. There you go, guys. You support us for free on all these different kinds of things, and you'll be getting stuff. But that stuff is going to be coming from my wife, so she's going to be financially gaining because she's putting out so much stuff. Like, oh my God, it's ridiculous. If you want something custom, clothing, or really anything custom or most, hit up Rich Lilly Designs, please.
Yeah, she's killing it, and you know I had to plug her because she's doing really good with everything she's doing. So,
speaking of plug and plugging her, it's our anniversary. We've been together 10 years as of an hour and 57 minutes ago. So if you're listening, Erica, happy anniversary. I love you, babe. And
happy anniversary.
We're going to wrap this up and then I'm going to come plug you.
We're going to wrap this up, and he's not going to go wrap it up. You know what I mean? Ayo.
All right. Enough inappropriateness from me today.
Well, that is all that I have.
Yep. Just going to mention it earlier, but next Monday, we've got the Science of the Lambs. We'll be reviewing Science of the Lambs. But tomorrow, because this drops on Monday, you guys are going to have a bonus review of Resident Evil, Welcome to Raccoon City. So,
So be ready, motherfuckers. Yeah, but that's all I got. What about you?
That's all I've got.
All right, I'm Kyle Webb.
I'm his brother, Nathan Webb.
And you just listened to our podcast.
Two Brothers and a Review.
That's right, you filthy animals.
Shit. Filthy fucking animals like that fucking piece of shit fucking sheriff. God, I fucking hate that guy.
Boom goes the dynamite.